This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Thank you. Welcome! Another edition of It's Still Real to Me, Zaslow Show 2.0 Pro Wrestling Podcast. Love having you guys aboard. Love when you tune into everything Zaslow Show 2.0. And of course, that also means that our title sponsor of everything Zaslow Show 2.0, this is brought to us by Anna Jar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-BRIEF, 800-747-3733. You're involved in any kind of an accident, motorcycle, hit and run, boating, whatever it is. You're dealing with a personal injury. First you call 911, then you call Anna Jar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-BRIEF, 800-747-3733. Let them put their skills to work for you. Get you the compensation you deserve. Anna Jar and Levine, Accident Attorneys, 800-747-FREE, 800-747-3733. Got a great show planned for you guys today. Coming up, we're going to talk to Mark Raimondi. He has a new book that's coming up. He's ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Atlanta Falcons, but he's been covering combat sports forever now. He's got a new book coming out on the NWO, so we'll get him on the show. That's going to be a lot of fun. We'll talk to him. And also, tomorrow, Clash at the Castle. There's so much happening right now. Now you got the NBA Finals tonight, Stanley Cup Finals. Come on now. Your Florida Panthers have a chance to win the Stanley Cup tomorrow night, and Bet Online is your number one source. That's right. For every stat, every matchup, even live odds, spreads while the games are being played. When the game's over, you head on over to Bet Online's online casino. You get in on the action, blackjack, poker, slot games. Head to the website today. Get in on all the action. Use promo code BELIEVE, that's B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online. The game starts here. So before we get to Mark, and I've been telling you guys, Vice TV, Dark Side of the Ring. Last week's episode, we had Evan Husney, who is executive producer and co-creator of Dark Side of the Ring. If you miss any episodes of It's Still Real to Me, anything Zaslow Show 2.0, you go back in the archives, you can go back and take a listen. And of course, all interviews, including last week with Evan Husney and coming up today with Mark Raimondi, youtube.com/@Zaslow Show. You can go watch the interviews that I have with everyone on the YouTube channel. So Dark Side of the Ring is in the middle of a four-part series right now. Episode 2 was this past week, Who Killed WCW? So really interesting timing that Mark's got this book coming out. So again, it's on NWO. And, I saw Mark promoting, and I don't know him, all right, but he's ESPN, and I saw him promoting. It's called Say Hello to the Bad Guys, all right? Say Hello to the Bad Guys, How Professional Wrestling's New World Order Changed America. I was like, we got to get Mark on. So I sent him a message, like, yeah, let's do it. And he was on recently, he was on the Helwani show. He was on Busted Open. So this book's a big deal. So I'm excited to talk to Mark. We'll talk to him about the NWO and all that stuff. And the timing's great because, and I'll have to tell him this just yesterday. If you listen to Zaslow Show 2.0 today, I met the Hulkster yesterday. All right, so the timing's great. But we'll get him on in a few minutes here. First, though, WWE Clash at the Castle is tomorrow. We'll do a reaction show. Probably not tomorrow because tomorrow will be Clash at the Castle. And then we got the Panther game. Sunday's Father's Day. Maybe Sunday night, I'll be able to get in a reaction show to Clash at the Castle. But we're going to make some picks here, all right? So tomorrow afternoon, 2 p.m. Eastern time, live from Glasgow, Scotland, WWE Clash at the Castle. Love the overseas crowds. Love the Euro crowds. That's going to be a fun show. We have 5 matches, all right? Here's what we got. I'll give you some picks here, and then we'll get to Mark. WWE Women's Championship, Bayley taking on Piper Niven. Now, you guys know I am a big fan of Piper Niven. I love the work that both she and Chelsea Green are doing together. I'm a big fan of Chelsea Green. I love the two of them individually. I love the two of them together. I'm a big fan of Piper Niven. I love Bayley as well. All right. I don't see a way. It's in Piper Niven's hometown. All right. She's going to get a massive ovation. She'll essentially be playing the role of babyface, I suppose. But I don't see any way that Bayley doesn't come out of this match as the champion. Could Piper Niven win and then you get the huge pop? It's a great moment. And then you get Bayley chasing the title again. We know the money's always in the chase. And, you know, has Bayley kind of cooled off a little bit right now where maybe they feel like to get some heat back, have her chase the title? I could see that, but I don't think that's what's about to happen. I don't see them, even though it's in her hometown, I don't see them putting the belt on Piper Niven. I would like to see Piper Niven get a run with the title at some point. I don't think the time is now. I think Bayley wins. Intercontinental Championship. Now, you got Sami Zayn defending against Chad Gable. This story right now going on with Chad Gable, one of the hottest stories in all of WWE. Raw is hot as hell, right? Think about this. All the big players that are out, Seth Rollins, CM Punk, Rhea Ripley, Becky Lynch, hell, even Charlotte Flair, Roman Reigns. Think about the hot stories that they still have managed to put on Raw. Number one, you got what's going on with Judgment Day, Liv Morgan, Dominic Mysterio. To me, that's the best story going on right now. Maybe second best is Chad Gable, Sami Zayn, Alpha Academy. Really good stuff. Chad Gable is having the moment of his career right now. I think he wins the title. Now, we know one day down the road, probably not too far down the road, Otis is going to turn on Chad, and he's going to do the right thing and stand up for himself, and the crowd's going to go crazy. I don't think that time is now. I think we're a ways away from that. I think Otis is going to help Chad Gable win the Intercontinental title. I think he wins the Intercontinental Championship tomorrow. Women's Tag Team Triple Threat. This is the one match I don't feel like has any juice to it. You got the tag team champions, Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill, against Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark, against Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn. I like Alba Fyre and Isla Dawn a lot, but let's be honest, the only reason they're in this match is because they're in Scotland, all right? They have absolutely no heat going for them right now. And they got crushed on, on Raw the other night in the tag match against Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark. Shayna Baszler and Zoe Stark can definitely take those titles at some point. I don't believe the time is now. I like Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill to win, to retain. And we know eventually they're going to, you know, there will be a turn there between the two of them. It feels like a WrestleMania 41 match, right? In what are we talking, 7-8 months from now. And I feel like the general consensus is that it'll be Jade that turns. I think it's going to be Bianca that turns. Whenever the time comes, I think that'll be the swerve. It'll be Bianca that actually turned. Bianca's a great heel. She has not been a heel in WWE yet, only with NXT. And of course, Jade was a good heel with AEW. So that's why the money would be on Jade being the one to turn. No, I think it will continue a push for Jade as a big-time babyface. I think when the time eventually comes, it's Bianca that turns. All right, two more matches. You got the men's championship matches, and then we'll get to Mark Raimondi here. WWE championship match, undisputed championship, I Quit match. Cody Rhodes defending against AJ Styles. I already told you, I said this the last time they fought, Number one, I didn't think the feud was over. I think it has more legs to it. It clearly does. But if this feud were taking place like 6 months from now, I would say AJ Styles has a chance to win. We're not 6 months from now. Cody Rhodes wins. I quit match. There, I don't love I quit matches. You lose the drama of the three count, of the championship three count. So I don't love I quit matches, but here we are. Cody Rhodes retains. And finally, World Heavyweight Championship. Damian Priest against Drew McIntyre. Now, Drew McIntyre got his moment, albeit for 5 minutes at WrestleMania. This would, you want to talk about big moments. Drew McIntyre won the title at WrestleMania 40. He, in 2020 Royal Rumble, he had the huge moment where he knocks out Brock Lesnar and then goes on to win the Royal Rumble. And now he could win the title, for a guy who feels like he hasn't had moments, and now he could win the title in his hometown in Scotland. That is a major, major deal. I don't see it happening. I think CM Punk returns. He's been gone for, a month now? I think Punk returns, calls Drew McIntyre the title. Punk is probably close to returning to action. When Punk comes back, and it's Punk versus McIntyre, it does not need to be for the title. There is so much juice to that feud. It shouldn't be for the title. Why should CM Punk be fighting for the title? He has not had a singles match on television yet. Punk returns, costs McIntyre in his home the championship again. Damian Priest retains. There you have it. Those are my picks. I have one title change tomorrow. It is Chad Gable winning the Intercontinental Champion.
Ready to pop the question and take advantage of 30% off? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com to get 30% off select lab-grown diamonds. That's BlueNile.com for 30% off lab-grown diamonds. BlueNile.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
All right, so Mark Raimondi joining us here from ESPN, of course, ESPN Nation, NFL reporter, Atlanta Falcons, but also he covers MMA, all right, for a long time and has a new book out now. It's coming out. You can pre-order anywhere you get your books. Say hello to the bad guys. I mean, Mark, the fact that we are, what are we talking about, 28 years. Okay. 28 years, like that off the top of my head, 28 years after the NWO formed, that we are still writing new books about the NWO. I mean, if that's not an example of how important and the staying power, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean, and I think one of the reasons why it's even more relevant to write about now than it was 10 years ago, 5 years ago, is you need time to really take a bird's eye view of how and why it impacted society and culture and America as a whole. You can't determine that in 5 years. You can't even determine that in 10 years, but almost 30 years from now, you can kind of see what the ripple effects have been, what the domino effect has been. And that's why the book makes sense now, in my opinion.
So how did it come about that? Yeah, you know what? I know it was 28 years ago. I'm sure you've been working on it for a couple of years. So whatever the time frame was, where it's like, yeah, you know what? I think I'm going to write a really interesting NWO book.
Okay, so this is how it happened. So I am sitting in a hotel room. It's 2021. I'm in Houston, Texas, and I'm covering the UFC. And that was my job for 11 years. I pretty much followed the UFC around for over a decade, and I covered all their big events, right? So I'm sitting in a hotel room in Houston, Texas, and I get an email. And the email is from someone who says they're an editor at Simon & Schuster, right? One of the biggest book publishers on earth ever. And they want to know if I want to write a book about the NWO. So of course, Jonathan, the first thing that I think is, well, this is BS, right? This is a scam. There's just no possible way, you know, me being a lifelong pro wrestling fan. Yes, I've covered combat sports for a long time, but you know, at my heart, I'm a fan and I still consume wrestling. And I have since I was like, really like my, some of my oldest memories are wrestling. So I thought it was BS. I thought it was some kind of a con. So I did a little research into who this editor was, and it turns out it was real. And we spoke on the phone really minutes later because I was so juiced up. I was so amped up for this opportunity. And it's not an easy process to go about writing a book. There's a lot of steps that needed to be taken. So that was in 2021. Didn't get really an official deal until 2022. And the book won't come out until 2025, but the pre-order is up now. But yeah, it's just one of those things. And as I was saying earlier, man, like the vision is right by the NWO, but also to look at it as almost a vehicle for what that time period in the 90s and how it affected pop culture. You know, what did it do? What was it? How did it happen? And what are the effects of it now moving forward almost three decades later? So it's definitely a wrestling book. There's no doubt. I think wrestling fans will dig it. But I think it's also more than that in a sense, because I interviewed academics, I interviewed sociologists, I interviewed media experts, you know, cable television experts, culture experts. And that's what I think is going to differentiate this book from all the other, you know, modes of whatever. You know, there's been a lot of things written and said about the NWO and about WCW. I think this is what differentiates it.
So as a fan, you know, you certainly knew a lot about NWO. I know a lot about the NWO. But when you're researching the book and you're talking to the players involved, what were some of the things that's like, holy shit, I did not know that?
I think that one of the most illuminating things about the NWO and how that storyline happened is it was very fly by the seat of your pants, right? There was definitely planning on the part of Eric Bischoff and others, but a lot of it was very like done by feel and done by instinct and kind of done by, hey, we got to get something going because we got to put on a show on Monday night. We got to figure something out. So it was like, it was very like, you know, we look at it back now, so long after, and we see it as art, right? This masterpiece, like this thing that was, you know, it's like a Picasso painting. Like it's almost perfect, right? How they did it. But really it was scattered at the time. It was not this like brilliantly laid out thing. It was kind of like scattershot at times. Even, you know, when Scott Hall comes down, it's like, how, you know, what does that look like? What is that supposed to look like? When he leaves on that Nitro on May 27, 1996 to go to back wherever he was, he goes back to through the entrance ramp. It's like, wait, if he's an invader, how is he going back to the
that's right. Right.
It's like these things, like, and none of it really mattered ultimately, but it just kind of shows you that sometimes even great art is, you know, kind of piecemeal and kind of chaotic.
Were you able to get a hold of everyone you wanted to talk to?
Not necessarily. So I did not actually interview Hulk Hogan or Kevin Nash for the book. And it's a bummer that I couldn't, and I wish I could have. It just didn't work out with either one of them. The one thing that I was able to get is I was able to get interviews from them. I didn't do them, but I was able to obtain interviews from them that have never been heard before. And there are quotes in there that have never been said before. And their opinions on certain things that happened in that time period have not surfaced as far as I know. So there is new stuff there, even though I did not speak to them actually one-on-one.
That's cool. Have you been paying attention lately, Vice TV's Dark Side of the Ring? Because the timing of your book coming out, or at least you announcing it's available for pre-order, tremendous timing.
Complete coincidence, honestly. And I have not started watching that yet because I've been a little busy. I cover the Falcons for ESPN, like you said, and it's been, you know, their spring program, and I've been busy covering the team and everything, and I've been doing book stuff. So it's I definitely will watch it the kind of off season, if there really is an off season in the NFL, which look, well, there really isn't. But I have the next few weeks to kind of get some stuff in that I've wanted to get in, and that's definitely at the top of my list.
Hey, we'll get right back to the conversation, but first I gotta let you guys know, you know, one of our great sponsors here is out there trying to help get you a new home. That's right. If you're thinking about getting a new home in any part of beautiful South Florida, I'm sending you to Signature Real Estate Finder. That's right. Matthew H. Mashler, your trusted real estate broker, Signature Real Estate Finder, realestatefinder.com. If you're thinking about getting a new home, that should be an enjoyable experience. You shouldn't have anxiety over it. And the reason that you're going to be able to find the best home at the best price in the best neighborhoods, finding you exactly what you want, is if you get someone with over a decade of experience. Matthew H. Mashler specializes in luxury homes. He is a certified luxury home marketing specialist, realestatefinder.com. You can contact Matthew H. Mashler at 561-208-3334. That's 561-208-3334. Maybe you're just trying to sell one of your properties right now. The best way to sell it at the best price, get it off the market right quick. Matthew H. Mashler, realestatefinder.com. Maybe you're already in the business. Are you ready to take your real estate career to the next level? You can join the Signature team. The Signature Real Estate Companies are South Florida's industry leaders, ranked number one in Boca, one of the tops in all of Florida, and with offices all throughout the state, including Delray Beach, Coral Springs, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, Naples, Palm Beach, Orlando, a whole lot more. The Signature team is where you want to be. So whether you're looking to buy your next dream home, Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334. If you're looking to sell your current property, realestatefinder.com, or you're just looking to join the best in the business, Matthew H. Mashler, 561-208-3334, realestatefinder.com. Matthew H. Mashler, your pathway to exceptional real estate experiences. Is the NWO, like, are they the undisputed greatest faction ever in pro wrestling?
I don't think there's any doubt. I know that there are other contenders. I know that, you know, D-Generation X, you know, we're talking about the Four Horsemen, even like later on, people say the Bloodline now is a big one. But I think if you, it comes down to one thing: effect, impact. Which group had the greatest impact? There is no doubt. There is no doubt that it's the NWO. It changed the course of wrestling history.
I mean, people are still buying. I still see them wearing NWO shirts. D-Generation. What do you got there? Oh, there you go.
It's a great Muta.
There you
NWO
go.
Shirt. Yeah.
There you go. You know, I don't see very many new D-Generation X shirts. Mm-hmm. I don't see anyone wearing Four Horsemen shirts. Yep. I see people wearing NWO shirts all the time still.
And like we said,
this is almost 30 years ago. Okay, the Bloodline's amazing, obviously. But do you think in 30 years from now, are Bloodline shirts still going to be sold?
Probably not. And I give them a ton of credit for what they've been able to do, because the era is so different. There are so many more things that we have now as far as entertainment, social media. You know, like, people's heads are in their screens 24/7, and still WWE and Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman were able to devise this compelling story that did capture at least part of the zeitgeist. But it's nowhere near what the NWO was. Think about the people that were watching, right, at that time in the 90s. We're talking about tens of millions of people in 98, right, watching professional wrestling on TV. There's not even a fraction of that right now. So it's a big difference. And that's why I think that people are still wearing these shirts. I mean, if you look, man, like, Urban Outfitters, you know, a pretty popular, you know, brand, pretty popular store, Pacific Sun, Pac Sun, they just recently put out like retro pro wrestling shirt lines. And this stuff is like coming back. Like, it's relevant again because of that impact that it had, because it was so big in the 90s and people remember it, you know? And one of the things that I wanted to do in the book is I wanted to kind of trace that impact from the 90s to today. And one of my, like, I guess, hypotheses is so many people were watching the NWO, WCW, WWF back in the early to mid 90s, sorry, mid to late 90s, right? And these were all mostly men in their teens, 20s, 30s. We've all grown up now, right? That's me, that's you. And we're all doing different things in the world. And a lot, and some of us are leaders of our aspects of society. How can what we watched back then in our formative years not affect everything that we do? And I think that we see that in cable news, sports TV, politics, I mean, social media. I think it's everywhere. I think kayfabe lives on because of what we learned back in the 90s, because we're kind of the decision makers now in the United States, the people that watched that stuff back then.
The book here by Mark Raimondi, again, ESPN NFL Nation Falcons reporter. The book here, though, Say Hello to the Bad Guys. It's How Professional Wrestling's New World Order Changed America. Wow. So you hear him, Mark, there. It's not just about the NWO. It's about how the NWO ended up shaping and participated in pop culture. Do you remember where you were the night the NWO was formed?
Yes and no. So I don't remember. I mean, I have vague memories of watching it. I was home. I was home. I'm from Queens, New York. So I was home in Flushing, Queens at the time, right? And I remember watching Bash at the Beach. But the one of my prevailing memories from that time, and I believe I was 11 years old. And I remember the next day was a Monday, right? And I remember getting to camp because it was summer, right? I was in a day camp in Bayside, Queens, New York, right? And I remember everyone was talking about, oh my God, Hulk Hogan is
a bad guy.
Jonathan, I remember this vividly, being at this camp, and everyone is buzzing about this, like, oh my God, Hulk Hogan is, what did he do? This is incredible. This is crazy. Like, everyone is talking about this at this camp. And that is honestly like one of my strongest memories from that period of time in my life when I was 11 years old.
I mean, how close, you know, again, your book is on the New World Order and how it changed America. How close, like when you know the history, and of course, the way that it's told, that they didn't know for sure until it actually happened that Hogan was going to go through mm-hmm. with it. It was always say your prayers and eat your vitamins. Is he going to abandon that? You don't know for sure. He could change on a whim. What if he decided, you know what? It's not right for me. They were probably to go with Sting. He was the backup plan. I mean, just imagine, none of this would have happened if Hogan decided not to do it.
And you have to wonder, like, and I know that Hulk Hogan gets a lot of criticism and some of it is warranted, right? But if he does not make that move, like you said, right, it changes the course of wrestling history. And then, you know, if you're gonna say that I'm right, what I'm saying about my hypothesis about America, it changes the course of American history to a certain extent, right? Because if it's Sting or if it's someone else, it doesn't carry nearly the impact that Hulk Hogan would have. And I think everyone would agree, even people back then, that, you know, there was a little bit of a power struggle with, you know, Hall and Nash and Hogan at times during that period. And I get into that in the book. But if Hogan does not join, does the Attitude Era happen, right? Like, if the NWO does not exist at the level and with the popularity that they have, does WCW start winning the Monday Night War? Right. And if they don't win the Monday Night War, they're not winning for 83 weeks, does Vince McMahon decide to actually go through with edgier programming, which became the Attitude Era? And no one knows the answer to that. Does Stone Cold Steve Austin become as big as, you know, I mean, you never, who knows? Like, that is like one of the interesting things about history, right? It's like sometimes just one thing, you know, Hulk Hogan makes up his mind in Daytona Beach in Kevin Sullivan's townhouse, you know, by the water, right? That's pretty much what happened. That's when he fully decided. And if that doesn't happen, if Kevin Sullivan can't convince him and some of the other people in his life, which I get into the book, who did not want him to do it, if he listened to those people, what happens? What does pro wrestling look like now? Is it as pop? I mean, who knows? It's so hard to say.
Give me one of the guys who didn't want him to do it.
His ex-wife, Linda, did not want him to do it.
Wow.
Yeah,
my guess is because his agents. My guess is because merchandise, you're not going to have that anymore. They're not going to sell your shirts the way that they were, right? That's my guess.
Well, it's one of those things where the status quo, even like for someone like Hulk Hogan, right? It's like the status quo, even if he was not at the height as he was in the 80s, in the mid 80s, the status quo is still pretty darn good if you're Hulk Hogan in 1996, right? You're still making those big paychecks. He's just getting paid a mountain of money, right? Yeah. I mean, he's getting paid more than anyone else in the business at that time. He's getting, you know, a percentage of the pay-per-view every time he's on pay-per-view. And his merch is still massive, right? So there are people, and I understand it, right? Because you don't know. You don't know what this is going to turn into. Maybe this is a giant bust. So it was a risk for him in a sense, right? It was a risk. But I think he also knew that there was a decline in his popularity, and he was getting booed a little bit by fans back then, even though he was the babyface. He was not being received well, and I think he's one of the most brilliant minds in wrestling history, and I it's one of those weird things that he doesn't get the credit anymore, and I know there's been controversy, but I think that he's very good about seeing where the wind is blowing in the professional wrestling business. He has a tremendous mind for the business, and he can see the trends and the ebbs and the flows. And he saw this thing, and he saw his own decline in his popularity. And he said, this is what I have to do at this point in my career to continue to stay relevant. I mean, who else in the history of wrestling has been the biggest star of the 80s? Biggest star of the 80s, WrestleMania 1, movies, you know, celebrities, the whole deal. You know, Mr. America, right, in the 80s. And then reinvents himself completely and becomes the catalyst for the boom in the 90s. I mean, it's a career like no other. It really is.
Do you know if Hogan and Nash have any kind of relationship still?
They do. And it's funny because, like, there are points in 1998, especially, that they were at each other's throats, and it was it got really bad at certain points, like really bad. But ultimately, they were always able to work together because they were so smart about the business, and they were like there were situations. There's been situations recently, and I don't want to get too much into like the current day where fights have happened. Right. And professional wrestling. And some people did not want to do business because of, you know, hard feelings and, you know, not liking the other person or maybe feeling threatened by the other person physically or what have you. But as crazy as things were in the 90s with these guys, when there was drugs and there was alcohol flowing freely. Right. Those guys were always able to put their differences aside and do business with one another, even though they really did not like each other. And that is as extended to today. And they are still friends, and they do. I mean, friends is, I guess, a light term, but they talk, and there is a solidarity and a camaraderie there, even if they're not, you know, BFFs. I did talk with Kevin Nash a little bit. And one thing he told me is there was a thing that he was approached like for a documentary about Hulk Hogan, and someone approached him about it, a producer. And he said, hold on. And he called Hulk, and he said, what is this thing? Are you involved in it? And Hulk told him, no, I'm not involved in this at all. It's a hit piece or whatever. And Kevin Nash said, you know what? You know, F them. I'm not doing this. So there still is that loyalty.
I like hearing that.
Yeah. Yeah. There's still, look, Jonathan, it's NWO, and when you're NWO,
for life. You're for life. You know, it's interesting, Mark, because when I was a kid, like, it sounds like I'm 3 or 4 years older than you. If you were 11 at the time it happened, I was 15. Back then, you know, this shit was not cool, all right? Wrestling was my thing. I didn't have other friends to talk about it with. You know, it was the thing I did on my own, watched on my own. I would get my magazine in the mail every month, and that was the thing for me. And I think NWO probably played such a major role where now all these years later, this shit is cool now. Like, nobody's afraid to mention that they love pro wrestling. I mean, granted, you know, I'm in my early 40s, so there's not really things for me to be embarrassed about anymore. I'm a grown-up, but I'll talk on national radio. I love pro wrestling. I am not afraid that anyone knows that I love pro wrestling. And NWO probably played a major role in that.
100%. I mean, when you see Kendall Jenner wearing an NWO Wolfpack shirt like 5 or 6 years ago in New York at a fashion show, you're like, what is going on here? Because it's true. And I think that was the period of time in the mid to late 90s, especially for me growing up in New York. I was kind of like that too early on. When I was younger, it was not cool. The early 90s, not a cool time to be a wrestling fan. Not a cool time for wrestling. It was pretty bad, right? But a lot of it was pretty bad. But when the NWO came along, and then when Stone Cold Steve Austin came along, you could not go out in New York without seeing an Austin 316 shirt or an NWO shirt or a DX shirt or then like a Rock shirt. It really captured the zeitgeist as far as pop culture goes during that time period, at least from what I saw being in New York. It was massive. And you were actually on the outside if you were not talking about it at that time. You know, you had to kind of be in the know about what was going on in wrestling because that's what everyone was talking about.
I am looking forward to reading this. Again, the book is Say Hello to the Bad Guys, How Professional Wrestling's New World Order Changed America. Mark Raimondi, of course, ESPN, NFL Nation, Falcons reporter. You could order the book right now, wherever you are, wherever you sell books, or wherever they sell books. You don't sell books. Wherever they sell books, you could order it right now. I am very much looking forward to this. Are you very much looking forward to Clash at the Castle in Glasgow, Scotland? Are you into it, Mark?
I'm into it. I will be honest, I have not followed as closely since WrestleMania as I normally would, just because I've started this new job, right? I only started on this Falcons beat 2 months ago. NFL draft was my first week on the beat, and I was covering combat sports up until
what now. A week to start with the Falcons, the NFL no draft, kidding. And you got the whole situation with the quarter with Michael Penix. Kidding. That's an introduction to the NFL right there, Mark.
No kidding. I mean, look, for someone who's covered MMA and pro wrestling for a long time, I fit right in with what I do. So that I was like, all right, I know how to deal with this type of stuff. But yeah, no, I mean, I covered WrestleMania 40, right, in Philly, and then I went to UFC 300, and then I moved myself to Atlanta to cover the Falcons for ESPN. It's such an awesome opportunity. I'm really excited about covering the NFL. It's the NFL. I mean, I'm just so stoked about training camp and the season and everything. But I'll always have my love for combat sports and wrestling is like a lifelong, you know, a lifelong thing. I'll never stop loving professional wrestling.
Awesome. Great job, Mark. Appreciate you spending some time with us here on the show today. Thank you so much. And best of luck with the book. I mean, like I said, I can't wait to read it. I'm sure it's gonna be great.
Thank you so much for having me. Really, really appreciate it. Hopefully, maybe when it gets closer, we can chat again. I got some more good stories for you from the book awesome. And otherwise.
Awesome. Great job. You could order it now wherever books are sold. I am looking forward to getting my hands on that. I always love the stuff with the demise of WCW, the fall of WCW. I think that stuff is so interesting. It's why I'm so into the Vice series right now. And yeah, I'm looking forward to reading that. So good job by Mark. I'm looking forward to Clash at the Castle tomorrow. That's what a day tomorrow is. Clash of the Castle, Stanley Cup Finals Game 4. Could be a forever night for the Panther fans like myself. Today's show brought to you in part by Bet Online. Thanks to everybody who hung out with us and listened to today's episode of It's Still Real to Me. We'll talk to you. We'll pump out a show either Sunday night or Monday. We'll get you a Clash of the Castle reaction show. We'll talk to you then. See ya.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.